Praise the Lord, church. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, if you missed it last week, we prayed and fasted in the beginning of January that the Lord would bless us with 20 baptisms. And last Sunday, we did our 20th baptism. Amen. So if I could have Jennifer come up here. Can I have you come up here to get your baptism certificate? Right here, it's fine. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you don't think the Lord can come through, He can come through, amen? There's nothing He can't do. He won't fail. He can't fail. That's what we sang in the song, Praise the Lord. I love the song that we just sang because it is so true. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, you've been redeemed, you've been delivered in your life, amen? You're redeemed. Be excited. From death to life. Amen. That's your testimony. That's your story. From death to life. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear all who fear God. And let me tell you what He has done for me. He has done so much for you and I. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He has done so much for you and I. So much. Redeemed and delivered. So many things in your life. You've been redeemed and delivered from. Many of you have different stories of what the Lord has redeemed you from and delivered you from in your life. But the main thing, the most important thing, is from death to life. We were once bound by sin, but Christ broke those chains. Amen? Amen. Amen. But there's many people who ask, how have you been redeemed? How have you been delivered? What's your story? How can a person like you been redeemed and delivered? How is that even possible in your life? And many times we fail to tell our story. Many times when approached or we see an opportunity that the Lord gives us, we fail to tell the almighty story of what God has done in your life. It's the most powerful thing really you have, is that what the Lord has done in your life, the world needs to hear it. Amen, church? The world needs to hear that God still saves people. The world needs to hear that there is hope for hopelessness. There's a God who will take you and make you whole again, give you a new name. In a place in heaven, an inheritance in heaven. That's the story you get to tell in your life. And many people are asking, how? How is it possible? Acts chapter 26 is where we're going to be this morning. Pray for Pastor Jimmy. He is in Whitley County, pastoring there. So just pray that they have a good service. I don't know the church name. I don't really know a whole lot. I asked him, I said, where are you going? He says, Whitley County. And that's pretty much all the information he gave me. So I said, that's good. That's good. So just to give a little bit of context to Acts 26. Is Paul here from about Acts chapter 21 to about right now. Paul has been imprisoned. He's been thrown in jail. He's been beaten up. He's been bruised. He's been thrown around. He's been flogged. He's went through it all. And he's went from going on trial from a lot of different people. He goes before the people. He goes before the Sanhedrin. That's the Jewish council. Now he went before commanders of the armies. He went before governors. And now he's going before the king. He's going before King Agrippa. Well, who is King Agrippa? This is important. King Agrippa is his real name, or what maybe will jog some of your memories, is King Herod Agrippa II. That means his great-grandfather, the great Herod, was the king that ordered all those babies to be killed when Jesus was born. And then the second Herod was the king, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, that on Wednesday, is that that's the Herod that orders John the Baptist to be beheaded. So not a great line of kings. And now Paul has to stand before this king and give an account of everything that has happened so far. And then just to kind of set the stage, here is the governor. The governor here, Festus. He basically tells this king, hey, I got this guy. I don't think he's really deserving of death. But the Jewish people, they want me to kill him, basically. They want me to keep him in jail forever. But what do you say? Before I take him to the emperor, to Caesar, before he goes all the way to Rome, before I send him all the way there, maybe you should probably just kind of assess this situation, because I'm really willing to send him all the way there for nothing. So here we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently." Here we see Paul. He was about to share his story with this king. Again, not a very good king, a king that probably could order him just to be killed, a king that's probably not the best king to be. He doesn't have a good track record, and God gives him this opportunity to speak before the king. That's pretty important, right? Let me ask you, if some of you had an opportunity to speak before the president or some high official, it might be a little nerve-wracking, right? It might be a little nerve-wracking. What are you going to say? What are you going to tell that person? But God gives us many opportunities, amen? God gives us so many opportunities to share our story, to share the gospel, and I pray that we don't miss it. I pray we don't miss the opportunity to get to share the awesome story that's in our life. And I encourage you, church, to never back down from sharing your story, no matter the status of the person. We see Paul share his story with the least to the greatest, and you're commanded to do the same thing, commanded to share your story to the same way. See, your story is important, church. Maybe you don't think so because you're not like Paul, or you're not like somebody else who has this amazing, almighty story. But I promise you, your story is important. Why do I know your story is important? Because you're not the author. God is. God is the author of your story. And let me tell you, God doesn't write bad stories. If you've been saved by God, listen to me, church. God doesn't write bad stories. The world needs to hear your story. The world's got to hear your story. This is so important for us to understand, but it's also a fulfillment of what the Lord was going to do with Paul. The Lord tells Ananias in Acts chapter 9, it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man, my chosen instrument, is to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to all the people of Israel.'" This was Paul's mission in life, was to go before all people, no matter the least to the greatest. And this is a fulfillment of everything that's going to happen. Let's see what happens in verse 4. It says, "The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider incredible that God raises the dead?" Why ultimately is Paul in prison? Because he said something that the people really didn't like, is that God was going to raise Jesus from the dead, and God was going to raise those people also from the dead. What's happening? What's Paul saying? So I used to be the most zealous Jew. I used to be, well, maybe not quite like this, but the best of the best. I did exactly what I was supposed to. I did all the customs. I thought I was living the best life. He said, I'm living as a Pharisee. And says, "And now it is because of this hope that I'm being put on trial." What's this hope? It's the hope of the resurrection. It's the hope of that we're going to be raised from the dead. And I love what he says at the end. He says, "Why should any of you consider incredible that God raises the dead?" If you believe in God who created the universe, who created the heavens and the earth, why would it be incredible that God could raise the dead? That seems kind of almost small in comparison to the God that created everything and established everything and sustains everything. Of course God can raise the dead. This is what he's telling the king. Of course God can raise the dead. Of course God can raise the dead. What is our hope, church? What's really the hope in your story? Is that God's going to raise you from the dead. That he's given you everlasting life. Everyone is going to be raised from the dead. How do we know that? Because he raised the first. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is our hope. And this resurrection is not something new. Again, like he says, the 12 tribes. We've been waiting for this. It's not something new. It's from old. Job chapter 19, 25 through 26 says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. See, even Job knew that in the final days that God would lift him up in his flesh and he would see God face to face. That's a promise if you're a believer in Jesus Christ that you'll be resurrected from the dead. Even Paul says that if the resurrection isn't true, then our faith is useless. But it isn't. It isn't useless because God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's promised you that same power that raises the dead will raise you and I. Be excited because you get to partake in the resurrection of the dead. Amen, church? Amen. The world's got to know it. They got to know that there's hope, that you're not just going to end up in the grave if you believe in Jesus Christ, that you're going to be raised up and seated with him and have an inheritance in heaven. Be excited. Be excited to know that you're redeemed. Be excited to know that you're delivered. But be so excited to tell the world it. To shout it. Be excited to tell the world of the hope that's in you. Amen? That's what the Word of God says. Be excited that God reached down and saved your life. You know, this isn't something to keep for yourself. Your story is not something, it's just my story. God commands us to go, make disciples, tell the world what the Lord has done, baptize, all those things. And I'll ask you the question, church, are you sharing your story? Are you sharing your story with a broken and dying world? Are you sharing your story? Verse 9 says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished and tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. What is Paul talking about? He's saying, this is what I used to do. He says, I used to be so zealous. I used to be such a zealous Jew that anybody who even mentioned the name of Jesus, I was coming after him. Paul tortured and punished, thrown in jail, had them killed, cast his vote for believers. He wasn't really a good guy. Feared by many of the church. He's saying, this is how I used to be. This is how I used to be. And I love what he says. He says he was convinced. In verse 9, the beginning, says, I too was convinced. And see, when you're outside of Christ and you don't have a relationship with him, you become convinced of the things that are wrong and you think that they're good. I was there. I was there in my life before Christ. I thought I was doing what was right when really I wasn't. I want to share a story with you. I think it's a powerful story, at least to me. So my mom, many of you know my mom, she had cancer, but she came to know the Lord during all that. Really amazing, amazing thing. And the first time when she came to know the Lord, I got to sit down with her. And she was telling me all about why she did what she did. And she told me that she prayed. She prayed that to God that protect my kids. And I'll try to live the best life I can. But I'm not going to go to church. That's what she told God. She didn't know who God was. But that's what she just, I got to pray. So she did. And then she looked at me. We were sitting on the couch. And she looked at me. It was such a powerful thing. She said, I was wrong. There's such a powerful thing to know. I was wrong. I was convinced. I thought I was doing what was right. I thought I was doing right by the people in my life. I thought I was doing right by those things in my life. But actually, I've been wrong this whole time. That's Paul's story. Really, ultimately, is that he went through countless people, thought he was doing what was right for God, realizing he'd been doing the wrong thing the whole time. And let me tell you, that's the story of our life many times. See, when we come to Christ, he shows us we were wrong. That's what you really admit. Lord, I've been wrong. I've been trusting in myself rather than turning to you. There's a humility aspect in admitting that you're wrong. Can I just say that we're not always right? There's many times we've been wrong, but God's never wrong. God's never wrong. And how do you share your story? Because that's what we're talking about. How do you share your story? Is number one, share how you were before Christ. When you're sharing your testimony, share how you were before Christ. Share your struggles. Share the things that you did wrong. Share your sins with people. Be humble. Be vulnerable. Share with them that I wasn't right. I thought I was doing the right thing, but this whole time I've been doing the wrong thing. But I would just encourage you to keep it simple. That's kind of what you see here in this story so far. Paul doesn't go into every single detail of all the bad things he did. I'm sure he left a lot of things out. Keep it simple. Why to keep it simple? It's because this story is not about you, really. It's about God. What God did in your life. Keep it simple. Verse 12 says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority of the commission of the chief priests. And about noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. When I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Church, this is amazing. Think about this story for just a minute. If you were in Paul's shoes, you've been thinking you've been doing everything right. You've been thinking you've been super zealous. You're on the right track. I'm gonna take these people that call themselves the way. I'm gonna take them out. And then in an amazing moment on the Damascus Road, God comes to Paul. And you can see in other accounts where they're completely blinded by this light. And then you hear this one thing, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then here you see, it's hard for you to kick against the goats. What's that mean? Because I was like, I have no idea what that means. Why are you fighting yourself? That's pointless. You're just fighting yourself. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then he asked, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And the whole time, the person that he's been persecuting says, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. Can you imagine that crazy moment? Crazy moment. What a moment. That's your story. See, here's the problem, church. You think because you didn't have a moment like this that your story's not powerful. Well, I'm telling you it is. Your story is just as powerful as what this is. Why? Because you didn't deserve for God to save your life. The Bible says, in fact, you were deserving of wrath. You were deserving of wrath, but God didn't give you wrath. Rather, He gave you grace. Amen, church? That's your story. How powerful is that? How powerful to have a moment like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, get up, stand on your feet. It's time to go. It's time to do what I've called you to do. It's time to go. And the irony that I think it's funny, maybe you don't think it's as funny as I do, but I think it's funny that it says in verse 17, it says, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. See, at this moment, Paul is blinded. He can't see. But God commissions him, God calls him to open the eyes of the people, open the eyes of the blind, turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by what? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you're sanctified. That's how you're set apart. Not by your own works or your own desires or your own pleasures or whatever the world may tell you sanctifies you or sets you apart. But rather you're sanctified by the King. You're sanctified by Jesus Christ. He tells them to get up. You're about to do something. In church, I'll ask you again, are you sharing your story? Are you sharing your story of how the Lord has rescued you? How the Lord has rescued you? And are you going out to open the people's eyes, to turn them from darkness to light? That's your story. From the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Do you know that the will of God is that all men and women experience that? That your eyes would be opened, that you would see God, and that you would trust in Him. And when you trust in Him, He forgives your sins. Cast them as far as the east is from the west. And how do you share your story? Church, number two, share how and when God called you in your life. When you're going to share your testimony, share how you were before Christ, but then tell them how God, the moment that God rescued, I still remember the moment God rescued me. I was right there out in front of the church. Not in the church, but on the bench, out in front of the church. I had a friend, many of you know Ben. We were walking, I was going to stay at his house. And he asked me probably the greatest question that maybe you can ask somebody. And I knew Ben's story. I came to church. He shared it with me. He asked me, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And I knew exactly what he was talking about. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was drawing me to him. And I said, "No, I don't." And he asked me again. He didn't leave it there. He said, "Do you want to?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I want to." And we sat out there and we prayed and I asked the Lord into my life. And this is amazing, church, that God came into my life. And that's a promise. That if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. That's a promise. And I pray that you want other people to experience that in their life. That's Paul's mission. Paul, everywhere he went, he wanted people to come to God. He wanted people to turn from their wicked ways and turn to God. Why? Because he understood it. He understood his own wickedness. He understood how bad he used to be. And now he understands how God has rescued his life. And he wants the world to know it. And he wants the world to know it. Share where you were, church. Share how it made you feel. And share what really sank in. What really made you be like, "Yeah, I really do want Christ." Share those things with the world. In verse 19 it says, "So then King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to the small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." See, we are recipients of that. What's Paul saying here? What's he saying? He says, "Since the moment that I came to Christ, I've done everything the Lord asked me to do. Every good thing, every hard thing, every hurdle I've had to jump through." Why? Because he knew who the Lord was in his life. He knew who saved his life. He knew who saved his life. And though, listen to me, church, through every struggle, God had helped him. I love what he says here. He says, "All these things, they tried to kill me," but he says, "But God helped me. But God helped me to this very day." What's he saying? Every trial I've been through, every beating, every flogging, every persecution, all those things, to this very day, I'm standing before you, King Agrippa. God has helped me every single day. He's not left my side. He's been with me every single day. And that's your testimony to those who follow Christ, that God has been with you every single day. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Rather than trust in the one who's been there every single day, the one who's helped you. No matter the circumstances in your life, no matter who Paul talked to, the message never changed. What's he say? I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. The message never changed. And I'll just encourage you, because we can be tempted in the world we live today to change the message. Never change the beautiful message of the gospel, because it is that message that saved your life. Not your own message, not the world's message. It's that message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that saves a sinner. It's that message. Don't change it. Don't change it. Don't change it. So how do you share your story? Number one, you share who you used to be. Number two, share how God called you. Share your salvation story. Where were you? What jumped out to you? What passage of Scripture? Share those things. But number three, I think it's the most important. What is God doing with you now? It's so funny. I've been with family members that are still living pretty bad lives. Drugs, alcohol, things like that. I did a funeral for my aunt a while back. And they looked at me and they said, Phil, because I used to do those things too. I used to do the drugs and the things before Christ. And they looked at me and they said, Phil, you are not who you used to be. And I say, praise the Lord. Amen, church? I am not who I used to be. Praise the Lord. And that's Paul's story. He wasn't going after Christians anymore. Rather, he was being persecuted like he used to persecute the believers. And he wore it as a badge of honor, church. Sometimes wear that suffering and that persecution as a badge of honor because the Lord has bought you. Wear it as a badge of honor. Share how God has helped you. Share how He's redeemed you from that sin in your life. Share how He's helped you with the struggles in your life. Of course, you're going to have struggles still, but if you're trusting in the Lord, He's helping you every step. Share that with others. Share that with others. Share how He's changed your mind and your attitude. All those things are important. And share how your life is better with Him. Because I promise you, if you're a believer in Christ, you know really one thing. You thought your life was really good. You thought you had all the joy and all the pleasure. But when you came to Christ, you realized none of those things even mattered. None of those things were actually even good. It wasn't until I came to Christ that I realized that apart from Him, really, all those things were worthless. But now, I have joy and peace in so many different things. Redeemed life. Verse 24, it says, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. I think that part's funny. I was sharing that with Savannah. I just think the way that's worded, I think it's funny. Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know you do. He might not have said it quite like that, but that's kind of how I picture it. What's happening? Exactly what the world typically responds to the message, right? Festus says, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Has anyone ever said that to you in sharing the gospel? You're crazy. There's no way you could believe all that. There's no way. There's no way you could believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There's no way you could believe that you're going to be raised from the dead too. There's no way. You're insane. I've heard that many times in my life. You're insane. You're out of it. You should be locked up. Maybe that's true, but not for this. I love what the word says in 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, it might be foolishness to the world, but those of you that have come to Christ, those of you that have believed and repented and turned to God, know that it is the power of God which has saved you. Amen? Amen. This is the testimony in your life. Even if the world doesn't understand it, you know it is the power of God that has done a mighty work in your life. And I love what he says to Festus. He says, I'm not insane. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. And understand this, if you're a believer in Christ, what you believe in is not blind faith. What you believe in is not some fairy tale. What you believe in is true and reasonable. And he says this right here. He says, it wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't done in secret. There's many witnesses, King. All you have to do is ask around and you'll find someone that has seen Jesus risen from the dead. Paul could say that then. Hasn't been that long. There were still people alive that witnessed Jesus rise from the dead. This wasn't done in secret. He didn't heal in secret. He didn't do his ministry in secret for only his disciples knew. Rather, no. That whole known world right there knew who Jesus was. They're not asking, well, who's Jesus? They know who Jesus is. They just don't believe he's the Son of God. But let me tell you, church, that what you believe is reasonable and true. There's evidence for it. It's not blind faith. But we trust in what is true. We trust in what is reasonable. See, Paul here gives a moment for the king to respond. That's what he says here. He says, do you believe in the prophets? I know you do. He gives an opportunity to respond. And here I think, church, this is where we fail. I gave you the steps. Step one, share how you were before Christ. Step two, share how Christ called you to salvation. Share that moment where you accepted him into your life, where you trusted in him. And then number three, share what God's doing in your life. But here is where I think we fail. We never give an opportunity to respond. We tell our story and we say, yep, that's what the Lord did. See you later. And I praise the Lord if you can at least do those three steps. But it gets a little scarier when you ask for a response. Many times that's what we fear, right? We fear, well, what's that person really going to say? If I don't give it an opportunity to respond, then I'm not going to get rejected. I'm not going to get made fun of. I just say, see you later. Take what you will with it. But I think the fourth thing on how to share our story is this part right here. Is you got to offer an opportunity to respond. That's scary, church. Because you're afraid you're going to get made fun of. You're afraid of what they might think of you. But I promise you, it is more important for you to take a step out. To take a step out and risk the suffering and the persecution and the pain. So that somebody may come to Christ. It's that important. It's that important to tell your story. That you are willing to endure the suffering so that one might come to Christ. Why? Because I've shared the gospel before. And I've done a lot of things in my life. A lot of awesome things. Went and saw a lot of awesome things. But I've never, ever experienced the joy that brings me when sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I think what kept Paul really going is because there was no joy like watching someone turn from their sin and come to the living God. There's nothing like it, church. There's nothing better in your life than watching somebody put their hope in Christ. See, there's many times I think we fail. We fail because we're afraid, so we just don't ask. We just don't ask. You know, there's people out there just waiting for you to ask. Really. You might not see it all the time, but there are people out there just waiting for you to ask. You share your story just waiting for you to ask, do you want to know the Lord? Just like Ben asked me, do you know who the Lord is? That's a response question. Do you know who Jesus is? They're just begging you sometimes to ask it, but we're too afraid to ask it sometimes. But what happens when the response is not quite what you hope for? Verse 28 says, Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. What an attitude to have. Amen, church. What an attitude to have when the king says, you really think you're going to persuade me to be a believer? Maybe you've heard that in your life. You really think that you're actually going to persuade me to believe in all this stuff? You really think you're going to be able to do that? Maybe you've heard something like that. And King Agrippa says that. He says, you really think you're going to be able to do that? And what does Paul say? He says, short time or long, I don't care. If it takes right now to 20 years, who knows? But I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me is what I am. What is he? He's a believer. He's a Christian. What's he say? Just accept these chains. I don't want you to be imprisoned. This is awesome to me. What an attitude to have when sharing your story. Why? Because you're going to find moments in your life that people are going to say those things. They're going to say, you really think you're going to persuade me? You really think you're going to be able to do it? And what should you do? Pray. Pray. Pray for them. Maybe there's somebody in your life. Pray for them. And I want to ask you this question. Well, why I love this part so much, it's my favorite part of the whole thing, is because it shows Paul's persistent in sharing the gospel. It doesn't matter. He could be rejected time after time after time after time after, but he's not going to quit. He's going to keep praying to God that they become believers, that their eyes are opened, that they turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and that their sins may be forgiven. And I want to ask you this question. Have you given up on someone? Have you given up on someone in your life because you think it's a lost cause? I've thought those things before in my life. I have. I prayed for my mom for 8 years. 8 years. Really, in the back of my mind, thinking it ain't ever going to happen. But the Lord never fails. Amen. He saved my mom. Something I thought was impossible. But God showed me persistent prayer is key in your life. If you have loved ones in your life, friends and family that don't know the Lord, you ought to be praying every day. If there is a time to pray for them, it's right now. If there's a time to pray for their soul, it's right now. It's not tomorrow. Why? Because none of us are promised tomorrow. Just like the flowers, they fade and they go away. So is our life. It's here for a moment and gone. But those that trust in the Lord, those that believe in the Lord, have everlasting life. It's not gone. It's not gone. Amen, church? Amen. It's time to start praying for them. It's time to start praying for them. See, this world needs to hear your story. Maybe you've not been so good at sharing it. Maybe you've been keeping it for yourself. The world needs to hear your story because it shows the power of God. It shows that God saves. It shows that God can even save someone like me. And that's Paul's really story throughout the New Testament, is that if God can save the chief of sinners, he can sure save you. If God can save a person that killed and tortured his children, he can sure save you and I. You're not too far gone for God not to redeem your life. You're not too far gone for God not to deliver you. And that's all of our story. And I'll ask you again, are you sharing it? Are you sharing your story? Let's stand, church.